Welcome to the America's Jobs Team podcast. Every week, we dive deep with economic development professionals on leadership and other issues challenging our industry. Our goal is to equip listeners with the knowledge to grow their impact and influence. You are America's Jobs Team, and when you get stronger, communities thrive. Welcome back to another great episode. I am Faye Davis, and today I get to talk with Jonathan Coleman. Jonathan is the president and CEO at Lawrence County Development Corporation in South Carolina. A lot of our conversation is spent talking about how Jonathan sets the strategy to stay on track with community prosperity goals and how the talent strategy follows the same focus on community health and wealth. Jonathan is recognized as one of North America's top 50 economic developers for his work in just these areas, and he has so much more insight to share on economic development strategy and how to make the best of a tough situation with your team. So this interview was really great. I hope you enjoy it, so stay tuned. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the America's Jobs Team podcast. I'm super excited to be here today with Jonathan. Jonathan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
I am doing awesome. Are you ready to dive in?
Sure.
All right. So we always start off with this question. We love hearing the path that people take into economic development because it's a lot of people do fall into it. So that when you get the rare person that did go to school for it, always makes for good conversation. So no matter what your path looks like, what was your plan when you went to college and how did you get to where you are?
Well, like most 18-year-olds going to college, I had no plan, except for I majored in economics and actually with a focus in community and economic development. So, you know, I was, you know, doing the normal college thing, majoring in those things. And then my junior year in college, I had to have an internship. And as economic development usually works through relationships, I was able to make some contacts with the economic development office in the neighboring county. I went to Clemson University, so this was the Anderson County Economic Development Office. And I got an internship that summer. And the way my schedule worked out in the my senior year, I was able to work half a day for the whole academic year. And then when I graduated, I guess I had done a good enough job to where they offered me a full-time job. And that's where I've been. I'm one of probably the few people that has never done anything other than economic development that is in economic development. It seems like most people are.
But I really like that. And so that kind of brings me to mind with the question of how do you feel that you've had a different preparation for economic development that you see that other people might be lacking a little bit that fall into the industry as they go along?
I don't know. You know, you kind of learn something new every day. It's really hard to, you know, there's not a course you can take or, you know, any kind of education or formal school, I guess you could say, that prepares you for what we do on a daily basis. I mean, I tell Lynn and Whitney here in our office all the time that, you know, I've been doing it now for 15 years and, you know, something new might come in the door tomorrow that we've never seen before. So it's really just experience is the best preparation in being able to cultivate those relationships. Because usually when it is something new, you've got to reach out to folks that might have encountered whatever that might be to kind of help you walk you through it or make the connections to whether it be a company looking for something specific or, you know, a stakeholder that needs help doing something or whatever it may be. It comes back to those relationships that you've made and the experiences that you have, you can lean on. It's, you know, I didn't learn anything at Clemson, I would say, that prepares me for my daily job other than, you know, the college experience, I guess, probably prepared you more than anything. If I had
to sure. Learn. That makes total sense. I really like that. You just very briefly mentioned your team, and I'm wondering, with the pandemic and just how this last year has panned out, how have you guided your team through all of those curveballs that just keep coming? Mm-hmm. Like there's one after another. It's like the tennis ball machine. Like it just keeps shooting balls at you. And what advice do you have for economic development leaders who might be struggling to engage their teams?
You know, one of the key things that we've done is Lynn Finley that works in our office is our, she works closely with all of our existing industries. And, you know, when all of this hit, she probably worked harder than anybody in keeping our industries abreast of information we were getting from the state or the federal government on rules, regulations, benefits that are out there, things to help them continue to operate. And then Whitney LaGrange, who's our director of marketing, you know, she's been key in helping trying to get that information out to not only to our industries, but to the public in general. You know, we did a marketing campaign here about wearing masks, social distance, because our industries did come to us with concerns that our citizens or our workforce, you know, they can make them do right while they're at work. But when they leave the confines of the business, you know, they might not have been as responsible as they should. And it was causing, you know, staffing issues with contact tracing and things like that. So we started a mask wearing marketing campaign just to educate the public on not only, you know, obviously masking became a political football, but really to not necessarily take a political stance, but educate people on the effects of, you know, if you come in contact with somebody, it not only affects you, it affects your company that you work for and a lot of other things. So, and that really helped. You know, we've got a lot of accolades from our companies for that effort, and it really seemed to help with that. But, you know, one of the things, you just got to be flexible and try to be that steady, you know, if when the curveballs come, you just stay calm and figure out how to handle it. We had a spare office in our office here that we converted to a classroom for our staff members that have children that having to do virtual school.
That's awesome.
So, you know, they're able to come to work. Kids can come, they do their schoolwork and do what they have to do. And, you know, it's just a different world. And the traditional workplace is, you know, I don't know if we'll ever get back to that, to be honest. And I kind of like having the youngins around. They're fun. So
I love that though, but that's such a, I haven't heard that before, but that's such a, like, you're so in tune with what, you know, economic developers need to be able to do their job. We worked harder over this last year than we always work hard, but we've worked harder this last year to really help with what you were saying, you know, those BR&E efforts, really making sure you're there for your existing industries. But where does that leave the family life? Mm-hmm. So for you to say that you converted a spare office into a classroom, I think that's really cool. And it's really in touch with your team and the individual needs there.
Yeah. I've got small kids. They're not, the oldest one's in the second grade, but you know, I've got great people that work with me, and, you know, we're trying to make life easy. I mean, it's been a stressful year for everybody, a year and a half now. And so, you know, anything we can do to make coming to work easier and more productive, and, you know, as long as it doesn't affect our productivity and what we're able to do, is, you know, we've had prospects come in, see them in there working, and they think it's great too. So it's, you know, it's,
but it really is. And yeah, economic development organizations, I mean, you know, there's been all this talk of like, how do you support families? And in our industry, we don't often, in our organizations itself, have a ton of resources that we can dedicate to, you know, hiring a person for daycare or something like that. So coming up with very cost efficient solutions like that, how cool. Good for you.
Thank you.
Shifting gears just a little bit. I was reading through, for our listening audience, we send out a questionnaire to all of our top 50 economic developers. And in your questionnaire, you answered that Lawrence County has seen a 60% increase in wages over the past decade, which is just like mind-blowingly awesome. How are economic development policies assisting in this growth? And how do you stay intentional in attracting more of those really well-paying jobs to your community?
Well, our economy as a whole is a very manufacturing heavy economy. We've got a 40% of our workforce in the county is in the manufacturing environment. And so that's what we are. We always have been. And so over the last, especially over the last 7-8 years, we've been very intentional in recruiting industries that pay at or above our county average wage. I've always had the mindset, if you can bring in 1,000 new jobs, but if they pay less than your county average, you're really going backwards. Because at the end of the day, the wages in the county is what makes the largest impact on our small businesses and what trickles through the whole economy. And the term economic development in a holistic view is, you know, not just announcing industries. Obviously, that's the starter. But if you read it backwards, developing the economy, you know, the more money in the economy, you know, it's good for everybody. So, you know, from a policy standpoint and implementation and being intentional on that, that's one of the things we do. You know, the state of South Carolina does a good job of with their states, our state's policies too. We don't have, you know, usually companies that do not pay at that county average wage will not receive incentives. And from the county standpoint, the incentive packages that we offer are not as lucrative either for companies that we don't want. And so, you know, I don't want to say it's pretty easy, but it's we're not just going to take any and everybody. We've been successful enough at recruiting industries that we don't have to just take everybody that shows up. And I don't mean to sound arrogant when I say that. It's just,
I don't think it sounds arrogant at all. It sounds like you're very intentional and you have communicated very clearly with your community, stakeholders, partnerships that, you know, this is our goal.
Yeah.
This is what drives that needle on community prosperity. And this is how we get to it.
Yeah. And I feel like some communities, you know, they get in a state of desperation and do things in the short term rather than looking at the long game. And like I said, you know, bringing a company in that's going to have 1,000 employees and making the big splash announcement and all that stuff is great. But if you're not bringing in the wage level that is at least competitive, you know, you in my mind, you're going backwards and you can't, you know, from I don't know, it makes you go forward and it has a bigger impact on everything. And my advice to communities would be, you know, I realize there's political pressure to have an announcement every now and then, but really, you know, do what's best for the community. Don't do something just to get your name in the paper.
Yeah, no, I love that. While we're kind of talking about this, you know, attracting people for those new jobs that are announced, you shared a thought with us that the thought process in economic development has kind of done a 180. So instead of new businesses bringing new people, it's now that the more talented people you have in your community bring more businesses to your community. And you're doing some really great things with building a pipeline. So can you talk a little bit more about your workforce program aimed at high school students to familiarize them with those manufacturing careers, which you said your county is heavy on in terms of work and the impact that has had on attracting business?
Yeah. And just looking back,
share all your secrets with us, Jonathan.
Looking back to the previous question, that's another thing. If you're not paying a competitive wage, the first complaint we're going to get at our office is, well, we can't find people. Well, we've, you know, headed that off, so to speak, with when a company comes to look at our community, we're just straight up with them and say, look, if you don't pay this, you're not getting employees. And so that's helped. That kind of weeds out the ones that want to pay, you know, that are coming for cheap labor. So anyway, we have over the last probably 5 years made a huge investment and effort in not really talent attraction as much as talent development with our current population. We were a strong textile community up until the early to mid 90s, just like everybody else in the Southeast. And you know, the generation of young people now, their parents saw what happened in textiles. And so, you know, they don't urge their kids to go into these manufacturing jobs because of they're afraid of, you know, what happened to their parents. And and so what we've done is we have a initiative called Higher Opportunity, and we're really marketing the opportunities that we have in the county that exist to our young people. And we're actually not marketing to the young people as much as we are their parents, because when you take a sixth grader or seventh grader, you know, they're not making life decisions at that point, but their parents. And if you can change the parents' mindset to start, you know, pushing their kids towards some of the careers that are available here, you know, it helps us in the long term. Like I said earlier, look at the long term. It helps retain our young people in this community. They stay here, raise a family, and then it just kind of builds on itself. We've implemented a program where all of our high school graduates in the county can go to our technical college for 2 years, tuition free. It's a separate 501c3 that we've raised money to help fund, you know. And so, and that's not, and it's not limited, that program, they're not limited to majoring in an industrial focus. I mean, they can go to do university transfer credits at the technical college too. And, you know, in my opinion, if they do that and they go off to, say, a four-year university and get a degree, you know, the community paid 2 years of their tuition and they've got a vested interest in that person. And that person looks at our community and says, you know, I want to go get back to our community to help me get through college. Also, you know, a lot of our industries fund those same type of opportunities. I mean, most of our industries have tuition reimbursement. So if you, you know, for a kid that not sure what they want to do when they get out of high school, you know, they go to 2 years at the technical school, get a job in one of our manufacturers, and they want to say they go get a machining associate's degree, and then they work for a couple years and decide they want to go to Clemson and University to get a mechanical engineering degree or something. Most of these companies will pay for that, and it's just another opportunity out there. And so we're doing our best to market to our parents and our young people that those opportunities are here. You know, you hear all the time, I mean, a lot of communities, smaller communities like ours, say, oh, there's nothing here for our young people, you got to go off to, that's not true. And so that we're trying to change that mindset, and we feel like we're making some headway at changing that perception.
I think that's awesome. When we first started this interview, you talked a little bit about how when you went to college, you needed an internship, and you built some of those relationships. So I want to end with this last question. Why are mentors important in leadership, and what impact has multiple mentors had on your leadership journey?
Well, my first mentor, the first one I'll mention, is Mr. John Lummis, who's currently the CEO of the Upstate South Carolina Alliance. He was key in giving me my first job. At the time, he was the director of the Anderson County Economic Development Office. And, you know, I've always looked to him for advice and career advice and personal advice and leadership advice. And I wouldn't be here without him giving me that opportunity 15 or 16 years ago. So I'll always be grateful for him. And he's a good friend, and he's a good leader for our region and really in the state. So, and then I look from a personal standpoint, my grandfather was the county treasurer. My dad served 20 plus years as a county council chairman. And now here I am. So, you know, I've got, you know, they were very instrumental in showing, you know, what it takes to be a leader in the community. And obviously you don't do it for the pay. the more you invest yourself into your community, the more you'll get out of it. And it's just gratifying, you know, seeing your hometown progress and become a better place. And, you know, that's, at the end of the day, I'm lucky to be able to have come back home and do what we do in my hometown, and I feel like it's a lot more gratifying than if I were doing it somewhere else. And in having that foundation of leadership from my, like I said, my father and my grandfather, and showing me what it's like to be a leader in the community and you know, invest yourself and your time and in making your community a better place has really, you know, really been a kind of a guiding light.
I think that's awesome. Jonathan, I want to say thank you to you for taking the time to talk with us and mm-hmm. congratulations on your award as one of North America's top 50 economic developers. I learned a lot from you today and I appreciate you sharing your insights and all your secrets with our listening audience.
Thank you so much. It's glad to be with you.
Thanks for sticking with us to the very end. And again, a huge thank you to our sponsors, Research on Investment and Gazelle AI. The America's Jobs Team podcast releases episodes every week that are specifically curated for economic developers like you looking to stay in the know about industry trends, leadership development, career management, growing high-performing organizations, and so much more. So don't forget to subscribe. You can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Amazon Podcasts, or really any other preferred podcast outlet that you use. America's Jobs Team is audio engineered by Joshua Wieters and produced by Faye Davis.